more of Like Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. Call it a Midwest nice malfunction. A recent study ranks Wisconsin as the least courteous state. The Marchex Institute analyzed the use of words like please and thank you in phone conversations between consumers and businesses. It found Wisconsinites lacking. The Institute is the research arm of the Marchex company, which seeks to maximize the return on cellular advertising. To understand Wisconsin's poor ranking, Lake Effect's Amy Kiley turned to an etiquette consultant, Marjorie Sinclair. She's author of A Year of Good Manners, and her home state's discourteous designation surprised her.
I thought you said the first. I thought we would be the most courteous in whatever way it was being ranked or studied. So I was quite surprised. I thought we were very nice people.
Yeah, so what happened to Midwest nice in Wisconsin? Was it our politics or the weather?
It might have been that day, but I looked up this study that you told me about. It involved customer service in large corporations. So I think they were measuring people who were really angry to start with. And sometimes it's easier to be a little vehement with anonymity. And so you don't see or know the person you're talking to, and it just happens then.
What is the difference between consumer calls to a business versus interacting with people at a business face-to-face or talking with people who are friends or family?
Oh, it's much easier to be anonymous. Yes, you see a lot of things get said on the internet that way because there's that shield of anonymity. But when you're looking at someone face-to-face or within the family, it's much more difficult to be mean because they can be mean back to you. You know, in customer service things, the representatives have the right, they're called a green light, to hang up on you if you're really abusive. Sometimes it's called a verbal assault, and they don't have to put up with it either. Also, my point is it's counterproductive. If you have a really big problem and you need help on this, it's just going to be better if you have that person working with you. I think I would probably say, you are the third person I've been talking to, and it's been 45 minutes. And I really hope that you can help me now because I'm frustrated, and I really hope you can help me. And you can see how my voice changes during that, too.
Versus becoming antagonistic in some way.
Yes, I've said this all before to you. Well, it wasn't to you, it was somebody else. But still, you need to get to the right person. So you want those people on your side.
That makes sense. This study also tracked words like please and thank you, mm-hmm. which seem like givens that our parents taught us. But in conversations, do we forget to use those?
I think some gentle reminders are involved here. When I do children's programs, I ask, how many times a day do you have to say please or thank you? It's not as if there's a magic number, like six. So you said please six times before noon today, so you're done for the day? No, it's every time you ask for something, and then thank you every time you get something.
This study also tracked swearing. Luckily, Wisconsin was not in the sailor category, as it put it.
Yes.
But can you talk about people swearing in conversations? How often does that happen and what prompts it?
It seems to be becoming more casual. It isn't just in fury and for great alarm. It's just becoming casual. And I think that's part of the coarsening of America. I'm sorry to see that.
In your work as an etiquette expert, what kinds of courtesy pitfalls do you commonly encounter?
Well, people just not using the golden rule or the platinum rule. Now, I'm sure you know about the golden rule, about treating other people the way you want to be treated. And I've also done these programs in Beijing for Chinese salespeople who are coming to the U.S. There I learned that the golden rule in Chinese is a double negative. They say, don't treat other people the way you don't want them to treat you, which amounts to the same thing. But the one I want to add is the platinum rule, because gold is a rare, precious metal, and platinum is even higher and more scarce and more expensive. So the platinum rule is that you should treat other people the way they want to be treated. Not everyone wants to be treated the same way. So how do you know? They give hints. You have to pay attention.
So in terms of courtesy pitfalls, then, do people treat others as they would treat themselves, or are they not aware of the needs of the other person?
I think they're simply not aware. And there is a difference between thoughtless and rude. Thoughtless is accidental. Thoughtless is being in a hurry. Thoughtless is saying something that you shouldn't have. And, of course, also we get into the thing about different manners in private or in public. I say there should be no difference, because what we do in private tells who we really are. And if you use these words in private, in just in regular casual conversation, they will tend to slip out at the most inopportune moments.
What is the difference between manners and etiquette?
Etiquette refers to all of the rules governing behavior. And going back thousands of years in the time of the Egyptians, but also around the time of the kings of France, Louis XIV, XV, and XVI, they started writing this down. So all of the rules of behavior would include, for instance, if you went to court at Versailles, one of the rules was your shadow was not allowed to touch the shadow of the king. And you think, how are you supposed to know things like this? Well, on the back of the invitation was written the most important rules of behavior. So you had a chance to read that in advance, then present your invitation as identification when you arrived at Versailles. And they knew you had been properly invited and you were not crashing the party. But manners, on the other hand, is an English word, and that refers to your personal behavior. So etiquette is sort of the how-to. And between the two, manners is more important. Manners are more important than etiquette.
Etiquette makes me think often of weddings and knowing not to wear white like the bride and such. How are we supposed to know these etiquette rules and how important are they in those kinds of social interactions?
Sometimes people say to me, who makes up these rules anyway? Well, right. If you have ever had an opinion about somebody else's good manners or bad manners, you are part of the consensus. And this rule about guests not wearing white to the wedding got started because there were just a lot of brides who were annoyed that someone else was wearing the color that was supposed to, they thought, special for them that day.
Is it really important when going to a social function like that to study the rules and follow the rules?
I think it's important to talk with the hosts. There are some brides that would not mind if you wore dark denim jeans to the wedding. And there are other brides that would mind. So you have to sort of have to know your hostess, what are they expecting? This is, again, treating other people the way they want to be treated. You might think there's nothing wrong with this, but if it's the host or hostess, their opinions count. And when you are the host and hostess, your opinions count then too.
Can you talk us through some professional interactions? How can we behave according to proper etiquette in those?
I think by being on your best behavior all of the time, not having two separate sets of manners like some that you use for guests and others, you know, just for people at home, you know who deserves your best manners would be the people you live with. I use this question sometimes. Does a socially graceful person have both company and everyday manners? And it's a trick question, which I hated when I was in school because I thought they were so sneaky. But teachers like them because it gets you to think in different categories. So having two separate sets of manners, the answer is, it sounds like a good idea. You should know both. And the answer is no. You should only have one set of manners. Those are your best manners. Those are the ones you use every day, even with the family, like even them. But of course, they are the ones who deserve your best manners. So having one set of manners for all the time, then you're not going to get caught with these bad words slipping out at these inopportune moments, like live television.
Are you saying that we maintain the same manners with both groups? But is the etiquette the same? Do I treat my boss like I treat my mom?
With kindness and respect and patience, in that case, yes. So rather than getting into specific illustrations, I tend to like professional principles that can be applied to many other situations. But basically, how we want to be treated is with kindness and respect, and as a 7-year-old told me recently, with patience. And I thought that was a good one to add.
Especially for a 7-year-old.
Mm-hmm, yes. Who apparently thought he wasn't getting some patience from other people.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And what are some other basic rules to leave listeners with so that they can live by better etiquette and have better manners?
Treat other people the way you want to be treated, and then figure out also how they want to be treated. Recently, I was at a restaurant, and the waitress was late teens, maybe late college, early 20s, and she called me sweetie. And as you can imagine, Miss Sinclair was not amused at that. She was not trying to be rude. I think she was trying to be friendly. So I didn't want to embarrass her. I said nothing to her, but I did find the manager because what she should have done was use ma'am. Sir or ma'am, when you don't know the person's name, very useful. And then you're treating them with respect. That shows that you expect to be treated with more respect also. We teach other people how to treat us.
That anecdote brings up another question, too, that in different cultures or subcultures, for instance, in the South, that might be acceptable. But here in Wisconsin, it's less so. How do you navigate those social waters?
Well, part of being elegant is being appropriate. And you do. You just look around. I know that some families in the South, the children address their parents as sir and ma'am, which we don't do here. People hold the silverware different in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world. You know about American style and European style, also called continental style. So if I were at a table and we were finishing eating and everyone had put the knife and fork down and, let's say, a table of six, five people had the tines of the fork curving downward, that's what I would do. If five of them had the tines of the fork curving upward, that's what I would do.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I think in 5 words, it sums it all up by saying good manners are good business. They're cost-effective, they're free, and they make everyone look good. Also, keep on writing your thank you notes.
Marjorie Sinclair, thank you for being on Lake Effect.
You're welcome. I appreciate the invitation.
Marjorie Sinclair is a local etiquette consultant and the author of A Year of Good Manners. She spoke with Lake Effect's very courteous Amy Kiley about Wisconsin's designation as the least courteous state. To learn all the winners and losers in the courteous category, you can find a link at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One more break and then an in-studio conversation with and performance by Milwaukee's Ian and the Dream. That's when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.